Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Wednesday, March 27th. A universal question that everyone wonders about is, what happens after a person dies? The answer is revealed in today's study of 1 Corinthians 15.
If you'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're talking about the characteristics of the resurrection body. And so let's just begin in verse 35 and just read two or three verses here to get us started. So remembering that Paul is dealing with a group of people, first of all, who do not believe in the resurrection. So he's been talking about why there is one and proving that. Then he says in verse 35, but someone will say, how are the dead raised and with what kind of body do they come? Now listen, whenever you see two questions like that in a passage of Scripture, what could you expect the following verses to do? Answer the question. So that's simple enough, isn't it? So that's what Paul does in verse 36 through verse 50. He answers those two questions. And he begins by saying to them in verse 36, you fool, or you foolish people, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So he begins right here with a very basic principle, and that is that before a seed can produce, it must die. Then he says, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain of wheat, for example, a corn, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. Now, one of the first things he says to those Corinthians and to us is this, that the resurrection body with which you and I shall be clothed one of these days, though it is a different body from the body we have here and now, it springs forth from this body. He says, for example, let's take a grain of corn. When you place a grain of corn in the earth and it dies, what comes forth? What pops up on the top of that earth? A grain of corn? No. But a little green stem. That little green stem gets larger and larger and larger until finally it has ears of corn. So you have many ears of corn and many, many grains of corn. Now, what Paul is saying here is this. This body of ours that is placed in the earth, though it is placed in the earth and it disintegrates, what comes forth? That is, in the resurrection body is going to come forth out of this body. It doesn't make any difference how far it's been strewn over the earth or if it's been burned up and consumed or tossed in the ocean, blown up in war, whatever it might be. He says, from this body is coming that resurrection body. So listen to what he says. He says, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body just as he wishes, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. Now, that should say something, an implication here concerning our recognition, our likeness to this body. All right. The second thing you notice here in verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of birds, another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies, earthly bodies, but the glory of the heaven is one, the glory of the earthly is another. Now, what is he saying here? That the body with which we are going to be resurrected is going to be a body that is adapted, listen, it is going to be adapted to our new environment. So the resurrection body is going to stem from this body that is placed in the earth. It's going to have the substance and be composed of that which will make it adaptable to the environment which we'll have. And the environment which we're going to have after this old life is all over is going to be far different from this one. So he says, we can look for the uniqueness of the adaptability of these bodies. Now watch this. He says in verse 40, there are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one, the glory of the earthly is another. When he speaks of glory, he's speaking of the outshining of the character of these things. Now watch that. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for stars differ from star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Now here's what he's saying. There will be a unique difference in every single body. He says, for example, a star shines a certain way, the moon shines a certain way, and the sun shines a certain way. All of these celestial bodies, they each have their own unique, different capacity to shine. These resurrection bodies of ours, when our bodies come out of the earth in their glorified state, they're each going to reflect differently. Why? Because They came originally from the body that was buried. What are they going to bring with them? Our personality is going to remain. We're going to be recognized even as there is a recognition today. You and I can look at each other. We recognize who one another is. Because these resurrection bodies have their ultimate link to this original body, though it is totally different, adapted to an entirely different atmosphere and climate, and though it is a different body, it is going to have a likeness, a unique likeness. We're not going to all look alike in heaven. You're going to look like you look, only we're all going to be improved. Won't that be wonderful? There's going to be an improvement in our looks, but you're going to be able to recognize one another. So he says the bodies are indeed a distinct, and though they're distinct, they each have their own glory. Now somebody says, well, you know, I don't think it makes a whole lot of difference how you live down here as long as you're saved. Yes, it does make a difference. And I believe here's one of the differences. When you and I stand before God and we are rewarded for the life that we've lived, what is the reward going to be? The Bible talks about laying our crowns down before the Lord and giving him the praise and the honor and the glory and the credit for it all. And whereas some people may have a problem with that today, when you and I stand before him, the Bible says we're going to know, even as we're known, there won't be any objection to what God does in the judgment. We're going to be in 100% and total agreement with him about the way he sees us. And those split seconds, faster than you and I could measure in human time, God is going to show us, and we're going to be in oneness of mind and heart and in agreement with what the reward is that he says we deserve. What is the reward you and I are going to receive? Here's the reward. Listen, as we have so lived down here, so will be our capacity to do what? But to reflect and glorify the Lord God Almighty throughout all eternity. So it does make a difference. So he says the star has its own glory. The sun has its glory and the moon has its glory. When you and I stand before the Lord God Almighty with our resurrected new eternal bodies, these bodies are going to reflect. That is, our lives, recognized as we are, our lives are going to glorify God. They will not glorify God all to the same extent. For example, all stars do not have the same brilliance and radiance. All the planets do not have the same. There is this one here and that one there, and one that is very bright and one not so bright. Because of the way we've lived, listen, our capacity to glorify God, listen, it is a selfish, prideful, ignorant person who says, it doesn't make any difference how I live down here. As long as I get there, that's the only thing that matters. Then, friend, I want to tell you, you're not thinking about God. You're not thinking about Jesus Christ. You're not thinking about the Holy Spirit. You're not thinking about anything but yourself and as little as you can get by with and get to heaven. And when you get there, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because God is a just God. And though redemption has provided for my salvation, all through the scriptures, there is a judgment of reward for God's people. And so when you and I stand before him, our lives are going to be able to reflect the glory of God. Listen, on the basis of, in relationship to, in proportion to, the way we have lived and served and loved and been devoted to Jesus Christ here on earth. Listen, if God created us to glorify himself, and that's why he created us, and he's invested what he's invested in us to glorify himself, and he has, and his purpose is to magnify his life on earth through us, and to demonstrate his love and his power and his grace and his goodness and his mercy. And he demonstrates all of this through us. And then we want to get in by the skin of our teeth and do as little as we can, serve as little as we can, give as little as we can, say as little as we can. In fact, just be, listen, get saved and be slightly religious. Just so I'm religious, that's all that matters. You've missed the whole point of living, the whole point of dying, and you're going to be terribly shocked when you stand before God. Well, Paul says, this resurrection body of ours, it's going to be unique because we're going to know each other. For example, can you give me an incident where that you can prove in the scripture, and you should know this quickly, you can prove in the scripture that when people are resurrected from the dead, you'll know them when you see them. The transfiguration, that's right. How did Peter, James, and John, how could they identify these fellows? They knew who Jesus was, but Moses and Elijah, recognizable. They knew them. When you and I get to heaven, we're going to know each other. And so Paul wants us to get straight here, the uniqueness of this body. So he says these bodies, they're coming from the original one, the one that's being placed in the earth, decayed and all of this disease. It is coming forth a unique body, and the uniqueness of it, its own, with its own glory, that is, recognizable, yes, the capacity to glorify God depending upon how we've lived here on earth. Now, he says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown what? He says it's going to be raised how? It's going to be raised imperishable. That means that nothing will ever be able to affect the new resurrection body you and I have. No diseases, no storms, no accidents, no anything will ever be able to touch this body. Secondly, he says, not only imperishable, but he says it's going to be raised in glory. It's going to reflect, listen, it's going to reflect without any blemish. It's going to perfectly reflect the glory of God. He says it's going to be raised in power. What kind of power? The same power that raised the body of Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that's going to raise your physical body, wherever it may be placed, raise your body out of the grave, transformed what? From perishable to imperishable, dishonorable to honorable, weak to strong. That is, it will be raised in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And the same power that raised Jesus' body is going to raise your body. Now notice what he says. So verse 45, so also he says, it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. Now, where did we get our physical body from? From whom? Adam. We have the same kind of body he had. The last Adam, who is Christ, became a life-giving spirit. The first one became a living soul. God breathed into him. The last became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. That is, we came into this world, first of all, with a natural body, a physical body adapted to this environment. Then he says, following this natural body, verse 46, then we're going to receive a spiritual body. So what he's simply saying is this. This body that we have here is like Adam's body. He says, but the body that we shall have, the resurrection body, will be like the body of Jesus Christ. Now, look in 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, listen to what he says. Now, you see, some folks, they don't believe this, but listen to what he says in this passage. He makes it very simple and very plain. One of these days, he says, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3 of 1 John, see how great love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. He says that is an expression of God's love. And such we are, that is, such we are the children of God. For this reason, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears in his glorified, resurrected body, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he's pure. Now, he says that when he appears, when he comes again, he says he's coming with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise, and he says these bodies are going to be resurrected in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, transformed to the likeness of the body of Jesus, which means as he could appear and disappear, so can we appear and disappear. As he could fly through space, so will we be able to fly through space. No limitation of time and space. Eat when you choose to eat. Walk through matter. Doesn't make any difference. No limitation on the glorified body of Jesus Christ, because, listen, it is resurrected and adapted to the new environment, which is eternity. And he says that's the resurrection body that God has provided for all of his children. Now, you talking about something that frustrated those Corinthians, that really frustrated them. They said, no, wait a minute. How can that which is placed in the earth decay and disintegrate? How can that body be like this? Because the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead can bring all the elements that seem to no longer exist out of this earth, put them back together in a new formed resurrection body, which is what? Inhabited by your personality, the real you. Because you see, this thing we call a body is something you and I are living in. That's not the real you. You could take your personality, put it in another body, that body would start acting like you act. Because that's the real you. Now, look, if you will, in Philippians chapter 3 for just a moment. And look, if you will, in verse 20. And all through Paul's epistles, he clarifies these things. He says, for our citizenship, that is, The country we really belong to is the heavenly one. Our citizenship is in heaven. Listen, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things unto Himself. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what He says. He says, your body, God is going to transform like His glorious body, which means that your body has the capacity to radiate the brilliance and the radiance and the glory of Jehovah God. And with that body, you will be perfectly adapted to live in a heavenly atmosphere for all eternity, knowing no limitations in your body. Now listen, somebody says, I'm scared to death to die. For what reason? Because you're not ready to meet God? That should be the only reason. Look what you're going to get. If you think it's good down here, once in a while somebody says, I'm not ready to go because, man, I'm enjoying life now. Well, I think we ought to enjoy life, and I think we ought to be happy and contented wherever God places us. But when the time comes, the thing you and I must not forget is, listen, this has only been like one grain of sand on all the beaches of the world compared to all that God has for you and me. If you die in Christ, you've got the promise, the hope of the resurrection. If you die without Christ, you have the promise of a resurrection, but a resurrection unto what? Unto judgment and eternal death, and what I believe the Bible teaches, in the same old earthly body that is able to last for eternity, suffer forever, and never die. Can you imagine spending eternity anywhere and suffering and can't die? Father, we thank You for loving us enough to make all these big, super, fantastic, wonderful, eternal, indescribable, incomparable plans for us. For You made them with us in mind. But You've said in Your Word in such a sweet, wonderful way, I hath not seen, nor has the ear heard, what You've laid up, what You've stored up, what You've prepared for those who love You. And so, Father, we want to ask You tonight in Jesus' name right now that You'd search our hearts and bring to our minds the ingratitude that's there. For Lord, we're so ungrateful for so much that You do for us. We complain about these bodies and we don't like the way they look at times, yet it's Your body. You gave it to us. We don't treat it right often, but it's an earthly body, and that's what You've given us to live down here. But You've said our hope is in the resurrection. And Father, I just want to ask You tonight in Jesus' name right now that You'd help us to think soberly about life and death. Taking care of this body now, looking forward to the one we're going to have. But Lord, we shouldn't have to be begged to do that because You deserve that for what You've done for us. And I pray that our motivation will be love and devotion to You, not the pleading of a preacher. Speak to that somebody who needs to make that specific decision tonight is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to part two of The Characteristics of the Resurrection. For more inspirational messages like this, visit our online 24/7 station. And if you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.